Welcome to day 304 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California. Today we are going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. We are reading this week from the Amplified Bible. So beginning today at Matthew 19, starting at the first verse. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the part of Judea that is beyond the Jordan. And great throngs accompanied him, and he cured them there. And Pharisees came to him and put him to the test by asking, "Is it lawful and right to dismiss and repudiate and divorce one's wife for any and every cause?" He replied, "Have you never read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be united firmly, joined inseparably to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder," separate. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command us to give a certificate of divorce and thus to dismiss and repudiate a wife?" He said to them, "Because of the hardness, stubbornness, and perversity of your hearts, Moses permitted you to dismiss and repudiate and divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been so ordained. I say to you, whoever dismisses, repudiates, divorces his wife, except for unchastity, and marries another, commits adultery, and he who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If the case of a man with his wife is like this, it is neither profitable nor advisable to marry." But he said to them, "Not all men can accept this saying, but it is for those to whom the capacity to receive it has been given. For there are eunuchs who have been born incapable of marriage, and there are eunuchs who have been made so by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves incapable of marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let him who is able to accept this, accept it." Then little children were brought to Jesus that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But he said, "Leave the children alone. Allow the little ones to come to me, and do not forbid or restrain or hinder them. For of such as these is the kingdom of heaven composed." And he put his hands upon them and then went on his way. And behold, there came a man up to him, saying, "Teacher, what excellent and perfectly and essentially good deed must I do to possess eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about the perfectly and essentially good? There's only one who is good, perfectly and essentially, God. If you would enter into the life, you must continually keep the commandments." He said to him, "What sort of commandments? Of which ones?" And Jesus answered, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself." The young man said, "I have observed all these from my youth. What still do I lack?" Jesus answered him, "If you would be perfect, that is, have that spiritual maturity which accompanies self-sacrificing character, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. And come, be my disciple, side with my party, and follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, grieved, and in much distress, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I say to you, it will be difficult for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven." When the disciples heard this, they were utterly puzzled, astonished, bewildered, saying, "Who then can be saved from eternal death?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, but all things are possible with God." Then Peter answered him, saying, "Behold, we have left our all and have become your disciples, sided with your party and followed you. What then shall we receive?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new age, the messianic rebirth of the world, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you who have become my disciples, sided with my party and followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And anyone and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive many, even 100 times more, and will inherit eternal life. But many who now are first will be last then, and many who now are last will be first then." Mark chapter 10, verse 1. And Jesus left there, Capernaum, and went to the region of Judea and beyond, east of the Jordan. And crowds constantly gathered around him again. And as was his custom, he began to teach them again. And some Pharisees came up, and in order to test him and try to find a weakness in him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to dismiss and repudiate and divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses allowed a man to write a bill of divorce and to put her away." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, your condition of insensibility to the call of God, he wrote you this precept in your law. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave behind his father and his mother and be joined to his wife and cleave closely to her permanently, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has united, joined together, let not man separate or divide." And indoors the disciples questioned him again about this subject. And he said to them, "Whoever dismisses, repudiates, and divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman dismisses, repudiates, and divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they kept bringing young children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples were reproving them for it. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and pained and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Do not forbid or prevent or hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive and accept and welcome the kingdom of God like a little child does, positively shall not enter it at all." And he took them, the children, up one by one in his arms and fervently invoked a blessing, placing his hands upon them. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Teacher, you are essentially and perfectly morally good. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That is, to partake of eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me essentially and perfectly morally good? There is no one essentially and perfectly morally good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he replied to him, "Teacher, I have carefully guarded and observed all these, and taken care not to violate them from my boyhood." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. And he said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all you have, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and accompany me, walking the same road that I walk." At that saying, the man's countenance fell and was gloomy, and he went away grieved and sorrowing, for he was holding great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "With what difficulty will those who possess wealth and keep on holding it enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were amazed and bewildered and perplexed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust, place their confidence, their sense of safety in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were shocked and exceedingly astonished, and said to him and to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus glanced around at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter started to say to him, "Behold, we have yielded up and abandoned everything once and for all, and joined you as your disciples, siding with your party, and accompanied you, walking the same road that you walk." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has given up and left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are now first will be last then, and many who are now last will be first then." They were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on in front of them, and they were bewildered and perplexed and greatly astonished. And those who were still following were seized with alarm and were afraid. And he took the 12 apostles again and began to tell them what was about to happen to him, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be turned over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn and sentence him to death, and turn him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, and spit on him, and whip him, and put him to death. But after 3 days, he will rise again from death." And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached him and said to him, "Teacher, we desire you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he replied to them, "What do you desire me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant that we may sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory, your majesty and splendor." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism of affliction with which I am baptized?" And they replied to him, "We are able." And Jesus told them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to give, but it will be given to those for whom it is ordained and prepared." And when the other 10 apostles heard it, they began to be indignant with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as governing and are supposed to rule the Gentiles, the nations, lord it over them, ruling with absolute power, holding them in subjection. And their great men exercise authority and dominion over them. But this is not to be so among you. Instead, whoever desires to be great among you must be your servant, And whoever wishes to be most important and first in rank among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to have service rendered to him, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for instead of many. Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, a son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity and mercy on me now." And many severely censured and reproved him, telling him to keep still, but he kept on shouting out all the more, "You Son of David, have pity and mercy on me now." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, telling him, "Take courage, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his outer garment, he leaped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And at once he received his sight and accompanied Jesus on the road. This is the end of today's scripture reading. For today's devotional, I want to talk about the parable that's often been called the parable of the rich young ruler. This parable is found in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. We heard it last week in the Gospel of Luke, and today we heard it in both Matthew and Mark's Gospels. And what is the meaning of this parable? Is it that God doesn't want people to have money, because he essentially asked that young man to go and sell everything that he had and follow him? So was Jesus implying that no person who follows him is ever to have wealth? I don't believe at all that that's what's being taught here by the Lord. But Jesus, who could see into the hearts of every person that he encountered, knew what was a block or a hindrance between any person and God. He could see what was the thing that stumbled them from being able to follow the Lord fully. And in the case of the rich young ruler, his love of money, his reliance on money, or his trust in money, was the thing that was between him and the Lord. A.W. Tozier once wrote, "Money often comes between men and God." Someone has said that you can take 2 dimes and shut out the view of a mountain. Just hold 2 coins close enough to your eyes and the mountains are still there, but you can't see them at all because that dime is shutting out the vision in each eye. It doesn't take a lot of money to come between a person and God, just a little placed in the wrong position. Trusting in money, even if you don't have a lot of it, will block your relationship with God. The rich young ruler was someone who was spiritually hungry. He was a leader of a local synagogue, and he was a wealthy man, and he was a young man. And it tells us in Mark chapter 10 that he literally came running to Jesus and knelt down before him, and he wanted to know the truth about eternal life and how he could obtain it. And so Jesus, in a way, was drawing him out when he said to him, "You know the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And the rich young ruler replied, "Oh, but teacher, I've carefully done all of these things since my boyhood." Which, of course, Jesus knew no person could perfectly obey the law. The next thing that we see is Jesus looked at him lovingly. He loved him, and he said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and accompany me or follow me." Now, the rich young ruler's response to that was his countenance fell, and he went away grieved and sorrowing. And in the Amplified it says, "For he was holding great possessions." He was holding on to his money, his things, his land, his houses, or whatever it is that he owned, for he was holding great possessions. Jesus wasn't preaching against money here. He was preaching against the love of money, covetousness, being greedy, having a heart that's really attached to money, whether it's for security or any other reason, because that it's in itself will block a person's relationship with the Lord. Anytime we have a dependence on other things aside from God, we have a stumbling block that is between us and God. God wants himself to be our all in all. God wants our relationship with the Lord to be the place where we receive our security, where we have our peace, where we feel safety, where everything is relying upon the Lord and not on ourselves, our ability to make money or hold money or have money in the bank. That is so often for people a stumbling block, which is why I believe Jesus said, after his disciples were so astonished by his words to that young man, he turned to them and said, and I love the Amplified translation of this verse 24 of Mark chapter 10, where it says, Jesus said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust, place their confidence, their sense of safety in riches to enter the kingdom of God." God knows it's a stumbling block when people's trust or their security, their sense of safety is in money, is in what they have in the bank, is in their job or anything that has to do with natural riches as opposed to riches in God. There once was a family that had seven children, and the seven children inherited a huge amount of money from their parents at the death of those of the mother and father. There was one son named John, and he had six sisters. Now, this money that they inherited ended up becoming a phenomenal stumbling block in their lives. They became so focused on holding on to that money that the brother influenced five of his six sisters never to marry so that they would never have to share the money with anyone outside of the family. So this brother named John and his five of his six sisters lived in the same house in New York City for 50 years. When the last sister died in 1931, her estate was valued at more than $100 million. But she and her sisters and the brother had become so focused on holding on to that money and trying to never spend any of it that her only dress that she owned, she had made herself and she had worn for 25 years. They had such a compulsion to hold on to that money and to their possessions that they lived like paupers. Now that is an extreme story, but it shows that money being held on to, relied upon, trusted in that way is a stumbling block in people's lives, not only between themselves and God, but also in their relationships with other people. When Jesus looked at that rich young ruler, the Bible tells us he loved him. And he pointed out, or you could say he put his finger upon the thing in his heart that Jesus knew was the issue that stood between that young man and his ability to fully follow the Lord. Is there something in your life that is a stumbling block between you and fully following Jesus? Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's a relationship that you have that you know is not pleasing to God, but you want to hold on to that relationship. Maybe it's a job or a career that you have that you're holding tightly to. And if Jesus himself asked you, will you lay that on the altar for me? Take up your cross and follow me? Will you do that? It would be very difficult for you to do so. In the case of the rich young ruler, that's exactly what Jesus was saying to him. If you read the New King James Version of Mark 10:21, it says, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. Jesus knew there was one thing preventing him from fully following Jesus, and it was the rich young ruler's love for his money and his possessions. That's why that young man went away grieved. Now, we don't know if he went away, thought about it, prayed about it, wrestled through, and eventually came to a place where he surrendered everything to the Lord and did as Jesus instructed him and became one of his disciples. That is very possible. But at the same time, it's possible he did not, and that he died a rich old man, never having followed the Lord. All we do know is that Jesus gave him the invitation to follow him. And when he initially received that invitation, he did not respond to it in a positive way. Instead, he went away grieved. Don't let anything in your life stand between you and Jesus or fully following the Lord. Don't let anything, there's nothing on this earth that is worth holding on to as opposed to giving your life fully and freely to the Lord. There's nothing on the earth that will give you more joy than the presence of God in your life. I love what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. People try to hold on to money and possessions to give them joy, to give them pleasure, and they fear if they let go of them that they will lack in joy in their life. But the reality is, you can find lots of very wealthy people without joy and without pleasure in their life, even though they have money enough to buy what the world would say are the things that bring a person pleasure. But the truth is, in God's presence is fullness of joy. At God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is where you'll find real joy and happiness for your life, is in following the Lord. So don't let anything deceive you in convincing you to hold on to something that will cause you to be separated from the Lord, even in the smallest degree. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If there's anything in your life that Jesus could point to that says, take up your cross and follow me, but this thing has to go. If there is, then by the grace of God, ask his help. Ask him for the grace to release that thing to him. He will be happy to answer that prayer, and he will give you the grace, the power to do things his way, and enable you supernaturally to let go of whatever it is you've been holding on to, so that you can fully release yourself and your life into God's hands. And then you'll have the joy of knowing fully what God has for you in your life, what he made you for, what your purpose is, and what God wants to do with you, because there won't be anything blocking you from hearing the voice of God or finding and discovering God's perfect plan for your life. But until you fully surrender, that will never be revealed. So I want to encourage you today, take this story of the rich young ruler to heart. it's an example for us of a person not willing to fully surrender to the Lord. We don't want to be in that camp. We want to be in the camp that is of those who fully give themselves to the Lord and find the joy of following Jesus in every area of life. There's more joy there than any other place on the earth. And not only in this life, but then in the next life, in your eternal life, where you will live forever with Jesus, there will be no comparison to earthly joy. It'll be beyond your wildest imagination, the joy that God has stored up for those who trust in Him. God bless you and give you a victorious week.